Genesis 41, then, our text, verses 38 and 39. Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such an one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Worthy is the man." Worthy is the man. Can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. This chapter is the story of the exaltation of Joseph. Chapter 40 ends with Joseph at his lowest, humiliated, forgotten, in the lowest pit, in the darkest dungeon, as a dead man out of mind. And for 2 years, 2 full years, 2 long years, thus he lay, until the providential and overruling word of God came to release him. And not only released him, but exalted him. Exalted him high, highly exalted him, even giving him a name, a new name, a savior of the land, the giver of rest, a new name. And before him, every knee is to bow. Every knee is to come bend before him at the command of Pharaoh, from the pit to the throne. That's the story of this chapter. The chapter is the story of how the exaltation of Joseph came about. Does not the story sound familiar? Is it not an echo of a greater story? The great story of Jesus of Nazareth. Do we not see here in this story the foreshadowing of the condescension and the exaltation of the Son of God, the one who came into this Egypt world for us, the one who for us, and because of our sin, had to leave his Father's house and stoop to the lowest prison. He had to suffer. He had to experience the humiliation of the cross, the darkness of the deepest woe, forsaken upon the tree, forgotten as a dead man out of mind at Calvary, but risen, exalted, lifted high, and given a name. Before whose name? The name of Jesus, the name of the Deliverer, the true Savior, before whom every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. The story is here in Genesis chapter 41. Here in shadow, here in type, here echoed in the Holy Spirit's marvelous prophetic history, we see Jesus, highly exalted. And Gentiles bow before him. And soon Israel, yes, soon even Israel himself shall come and bow also. Yes, all people shall bow before him, and all people shall be blessed in him, even in this heavenly Joseph, and all nations shall call him blessed, and his name shall endure as long as the sun remains. And why is Joseph exalted? Why this Hebrew lad, this sorrowful man, why is Joseph exalted? The chapter tells us why. It is because Pharaoh sees him. as worthy. He's the worthy man. He alone is worthy. And as our text says, can anyone be found such as this man? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. And so Pharaoh gives the reason for the exaltation. He himself tells us how and why Joseph is worthy. And why is Jesus worthy? Why is Jesus of Nazareth exalted to the right hand of God? Why has the Father said to his Son, his Christ, the one in whom the Spirit of the Lord truly is found, why has he said to him, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Why does Jesus reign? It is because he is worthy. He alone is worthy. The last Joseph, as the first Joseph, is worthy, even more worthy than the first Joseph. You remember how John said, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? Who is worthy to loose the seals? And John weeps much because no man was found worthy to open the book and to unloose the seals. Pharaoh could find no one. He could find no one to open his dreams. He could find no one to open his book that God had given to him in the night hours. He found none among the magicians to break the seals until Joseph came. And a man was found worthy. Worthy to take the book. Worthy to read the book. Worthy to interpret the book. And they sung a new song, John says, in heaven about this worthy Lamb. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the power and the riches and the wisdom and the strength and the honor and the glory. Worthy is the Lamb. And he is exalted high by God the Father. And worthy is Joseph. And he is exalted by Pharaoh. Joseph is the worthy man. He could take the dreams. The humbled one could take the dreams and open them. The slandered but holy one could unlock the mysteries, for he is worthy, and Pharaoh knows it. And this is Pharaoh's description of Joseph's worthiness. He sees that before him is the rarity of a great man of God. Joseph is rare. He is so rare. And the question that Pharaoh asks is rhetorical. Can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? It's a rhetorical question, for the answer is known. The answer is no. No one can be found. Joseph alone is the worthy man. No man was found worthy but Joseph. And Pharaoh, like John, has stopped his weeping because a man has been found. One man, the only one, a solitary figure in all the land of Egypt. He was found. And he was found in the lowest pit. But he in the lowest pit is not unworthy. He is innocent. And he is worthy. Worthy is the man. That's what Pharaoh calls him, a man. He calls him, can we see such a one as this in? This is a man. He's a man to Pharaoh. The word is not just a generic term for humanity, but man in distinction from woman. He is not effeminate. He is not confused about his humanity. He is a man, a true man, a real man, a courageous man, a wise man. He is Joseph the man, and Pharaoh is impressed with the manliness of Joseph, and well he might be, because Joseph is in the prime of his manliness. The Holy Spirit tells us that. Verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. The age when the priest commences his work. Mature, courageous. It was around this age, 30 years of age, we are told, that the man Jesus Christ was anointed. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, and soon that man was to stand before Pilate as Joseph stood before Pharaoh, and standing before Pilate to witness a good and a courageous confession, being found in fashion as a man, the Bible says. Being found a true man, a real man, a wise man, a bold man, a holy man, the innocent man. Jesus has come from the prison and clothed, his clothes have been changed and clothed in the mockery of a purple robe and accused. The innocent one stands, wearing the crown of thorns. But there he stands, battered, bruised, scourged from the prison and from the dungeon. But there he stands, courageous, resolute, firm, still with dignity. And Pilate has to say, he can say nothing else. The words pour out of his mouth as under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Behold the man! Behold the man. Can we find such a man as this? Joseph, in the face of all affliction, has showed himself a man. The word of the Lord has tried him, and he has come forth as gold, a man such as no other man was. He has obeyed the holy injunction of Scripture. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith and quit yourself like a man. Be strong. And Joseph has done that. Thomas a Kempis said, quit yourselves manfully. Banish impatience and distrust. Be a man. Joseph is a man. It is October 1555. The place is Oxford. The scene is a burning pile, a burning fiery pile in the midst of which are two stakes. The voice is Latimer's. The man, Latimer, now old, 68 years of age, but still the man as he burns in the flames. And to the younger Nicholas Ridley he says, play the man, Master Ridley. Play the man. We shall this day light such a candle that by God's grace in England, as I trust, shall never be put out. And it never has, because there were men who played the man, who stood firm, who were bold, and who were courageous. And here is Joseph. Can we find such a man as this? No. He is rare. Joseph is rare. Pharaoh knows it, but Jesus Christ is rarer still. He is alone. There's no man like Christ. The only man worthy alone to be the mediator, as Paul says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, the real man, the good man, the innocent man, and especially the anointed man and the God man. What stands out about the man Joseph in the mind of Pharaoh? He tells us he is one in whom the Spirit of the Lord is. Can we find such a man as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? A rare man because he has a rare anointing. He's a rare man because he has a rare infilling. The man has the anointing. The man is made by the anointing, and the anointing makes the man. He's the man, such as Pharaoh has not seen, because he has an anointing such as none have experienced. He's the anointed man. Pharaoh has recognized it. He has discovered a man who is taught of heaven, a man who is taught of God. He has found one who speaks with authority, one who before him says boldly, "Thus saith the Lord." Pharaoh has never heard such a man. He has never seen such a man, a true prophet who speaks God's word. Yes, Joseph is a Christian because he has the Spirit of Christ. If any man have not the Spirit, he is none of his. But Joseph has the Spirit. Not only does he have the Spirit, he has extraordinary measures of the Spirit. He is anointed to overflowing. He is infilled and overpouring. And even the Gentile recognizes it. He evidences it with the grace of humility and meekness. Though wronged, though slandered, yet gracious, meek. Though accused falsely, yet patient and kind. Manlike because Christlike. Never talking about himself. Never defending himself. Never promoting himself. Never talking about those who persecuted him. Never talking about Potiphar. Never even mentioning that woman who accused him wrongly. He is not obsessed with them. He is not consumed by them. He is infilled by the Holy Spirit. He is anointed from on high, and he's meek and humble and Christ-like. Has any found such a man as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? A man who always talks about the Lord? Verse 8, do not interpretations belong to God? I cannot tell you them. It's of God alone that this gift comes. And verse 16, Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And verse 25, Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream is one. God hath showed to Pharaoh what he is going to do. Verse 28, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do. He showeth unto Pharaoh. Verse 32, for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. He talks not of his sorrows. He talks not of Potiphar's wife. He talks not of his misery. He talks not of the darkness of the prison. He is not bitter, for he is infilled and anointed. And he just talks of his God. No impatience. No distrust. he has quitted himself like a man. And Pharaoh knows it. And because he has the Spirit, Pharaoh knows he will be useful in the kingdom. Pharaoh knows it. Can we find such a man as this? Is there anyone else who has such discretion and wisdom? Is there anyone else who has revelations from God and understands the mind of the Lord? Is there anyone else fitted in this kingdom to rule it and to oversee it? Only this man. Pharaoh recognizes it. Only the Spirit-filled man can do it. And there is only one Christ, brethren and sisters, in reality. Joseph is but a shadow. He is merely a picture. There's only one Christ, one truly anointed, who has himself the name Christos, the one who is the Messiah, the anointed one, for God hath given unto him the Spirit of God above and beyond measure. One only anointed above all his fellows. Yes, even above Joseph. Joseph is just a fellow of Christ. And though Joseph has much of the Spirit of Christ, Christ is the one anointed above him. And so we see in the chapter today, one beyond Joseph, one above Joseph, one who is pictured by Joseph, one who has the Spirit of the Lord, as prophecy says, resting upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, giving him all the while quick understanding in the fear of God, and who judges not in the sight of his eyes, nor reproves after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he judges the poor, and with equity and righteousness the people. And that is not Joseph merely. That is Christ betrayed and pictured in Isaiah 11. And Jesus himself says, he uses the words of prophecy, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Joseph has come from such a place. He has known that liberty. He has experienced the joy of coming out of captivity, and now he is to do that for multitudes in the land of Egypt, as the famine approaches, and all the while he is but a faint echo of Jesus Christ, who has the true and unmeasured anointing and is the Christ, the Messiah, Spirit anointed. Joseph, because he has the anointing, is one who knows. Pharaoh knows he knows. He shows that he knows by the way he has opened the dreams. And so Pharaoh says, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee, you're taught of God, Joseph. You have the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord is above everything else, a teacher, and he has showed you things to come. He has taken the things of Christ and revealed them unto you. You know and you see, because you have the Holy Ghost in you, an anointing, and you needeth not that any should teach you. He has understanding. The word discreet means that, it means that there is, that he has understanding and wisdom, because he's a God-taught man, a Spirit-anointed man. No man like him. Pharaoh had never seen the like of it. Pharaoh is surrounded by gods. He is surrounded by magicians. He has paid them plenty of money to learn their wicked arts. He has diviners beyond number. But they're all blind. Only Joseph knows. Only Joseph sees. Only Joseph has the knowledge of God and the knowledge from God. The man who has the Spirit knows. He pictures our Savior. Who shall fill our granaries when the famine comes? Who shall give us bread? Who shall deliver us and save us? The dream showed perishing things. The beasts were to perish. The crops were to perish. The people were to perish. Perishing people. Who shall deliver us? Who shall save us? Who can we find a man in whom the Spirit of God is, who has understanding from the Most High, and who with discretion and wisdom shall save us? Can we find such a man? Only in Joseph Pharaoh found such a man. Can we find such a man? There's only one answer, isn't there? Peter gives the answer. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's only one man. There's only one worthy. Only, as we saw last Lord's Day, only one who is able, alone able, able to save us, able to save to the uttermost, Jesus. What did Jesus ask us? When the multitudes are about, what does Jesus ask us? How many loaves have you? He asks. Just 7. What are they among so many? We have nothing. Nothing to feed them with. Nothing to save them from perishing in the wilderness with. We have nothing. There's no one able to feed them. We cannot feed them, Master. Bring them to me. And he fed 5,000 souls out of nothing. Because he alone is able to save us from perishing. Pharaoh found in Joseph a pearl of great price. We are in graver danger than Pharaoh was in. Men and women have ahead of them more terrible calamity than Egypt ever faced. There is the wrath to come. There is the perishing soon and near, the perishing fast approaching unto you sinners, the perishing that is at the door. And there's only one found who's able to save you from perishing. He whom Joseph prefigures, the man of Calvary, the worthy man, the worthy lamb. And Pharaoh eventually is going to say to the perishing people, when the famine bites, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. There's no one else. Can we find such a one as this man is, in whom the Spirit of God is? And the church and the gospel preacher and God's word says the same to us. There is none other. Can we find such a one as this is, the Christ? The Spirit and the bride says, come. And the preacher says, go. Go to Jesus. Go to Christ. go to the eschatological Joseph, go to the heavenly Joseph, go to the last Joseph, go to the one who left for us his father's house, go to the one who went to the prison and to the judgment, go to the one who upon the cross hangs forgotten for us, forgotten and forsaken, but now exalted high and lifted up and at the right hand of God. Go to him. Go to him. Have you gone to him? You've heard plenty about him. For every sermon, I trust, in this house is concerning him. But have you obeyed the gospel? Have you gone to Joseph?